for helping us to put this production together this morning. And so I think from here we let her roll. The Good News Flash.
Bethlehem Times, Chief's office. He's in a very important meeting. Can I have him call you back? Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
You're not tall. You don't get to be in the
back. Nobody told me.
Come on, keep scooting. A little bit more. Scoot over. Eric, a little bit more. Okay, there we go.
get my star reporters on the line right away.
Sure thing, Chief.
Go for Fred.
Hold for the Chief, please.
Connie here.
Hold for the Chief, please.
This is Joyce.
Hold for the Chief, please. Okay, Chief, they're all on line one.
Thank you very
much. You're
welcome. There's a big story happening. I can feel it in my bones.
Sure, there's a story. Bethlehem is packed to overflowing with ancestors of David coming here to pay taxes and be counted.
Yeah, the roadways are congested. Donkeys, camels, walkers. It's tough to find a parking spot.
That's not all that's tough to find. I saw no vacancy signs in every inn window. I'm glad I'm a permanent resident of Bethlehem and not a traveler. I bet some folks are going to find themselves out in the cold. They'll wish they had called ahead for reservations.
No, I'm not talking about that news. I'm talking about some really, really big news. I have a hunch, and my hunches usually pan out, and I think there's a big story to be had. Now, you need to get going and find that.
But where?
Well, go everywhere. Fred, I need you to go to the shepherds. I need you to talk to them and find out if they've seen or heard anything funny or unusual in the last 24 hours. And Joyce, you need to go to the local inns and interview the innkeepers there. They usually know what's going on. And as far as Connie, I really need you to go. And I need you to start poking around the town and talk to the strangers. Go to the houses. Go to the stables. Go to the marketplace. But I really need you guys to get going right now. I have a hunch, and my hunch is really strong. And I really want to see this go into the Bethlehem Times before it gets into the Tribune.
I always get the agriculture business assignments. Check with the shepherds. What good will that do? We know they're busy watching their flocks by night. Hey, you. Yeah, you. Hey, I'm Fred. I'm from the Bethlehem Times. I need to ask you a few questions. Don't be afraid.
That's not the first time we've heard that in the last 24 hours.
What do you mean?
You won't believe what happened last night.
Sure I will. Try me.
Well, we were out here watching our flocks by night.
That figures.
When an angel of the Lord appeared to us and we were really afraid.
Well, slow down. Let me get all this written down.
Listen to my story of some shepherd boys sitting on a hill doing shepherd chores. When up in the sky there appeared a bright light, and when they looked up they nearly died of fright. Scared, that is, sore afraid, terrified. The next thing you know there were angels everywhere. The angels said, boys, get away from there. Leave your sheep, there's a slave to the sea. So they loaded up and down the town of Bethlehem. And that is City of David, no room in the inn.
So, this is what happened. When the angels left, we hurried off and found Mary, Joseph, and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When we had seen him, we spread the word concerning what was being told us about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what we told them.
Say goodbye to Jesus and his kid. Mary thanked the shepherd boys for kindly dropping in. They went and told what they had seen of that locality.
It was a deep and
beautiful locality. Grace, that is,
Peace on earth. Goodwill to men.
Wow, the chief was right. Did you go to the manger? Can you take me there?
Well, we had a star to guide us, but I think I remember the way. You guys go take care of the sheep. I'm going to take him.
Street detail. All I ever get is street detail. This door-to-door stuff is for the birds.
Boy, I didn't realize that there were so many inns in Bethlehem, and all of them are full. Oh. So far, I'm drawing a big zero. Well, here's my last one. It looks pretty full, too. I'll see if this innkeeper knows anything.
No room, no room. I tell you, there's no room. That salesman, do you see the sign? The salesman told me that sign would work, and you didn't even pay any attention to it. 20 denier wasted.
Sir, excuse me. I mean, I did see your sign. I'm not looking for a room. I'm from the Bethlehem Times, and I want to ask you a few questions.
Oh, really? Did you bring a photographer with you?
Well, wait.
Would you like to take my picture by the door or by the registration desk?
I just wondered if you noticed anything last night, anything unusual.
Well, really, there was a lot of people in Bethlehem last night. I was turning them away right and left. I told them, y'all need to call for reservations the next time. I turned away more than 20 people when I was already full. Oh, yeah, there was this young couple, a sweet lady. She was great with child, real sweet lady.
Yeah, what about them?
Well, I told them we had a stable, and I'm not a mean guy, you know, so I told them they could stay in the stable out back, and I guess they did. But there was like a ruckus, well, not really a ruckus, I guess. It was like angels singing. And then there's this extremely brilliant light. It shined so bright that it made my room look like noonday.
Thank you very much. I'll just run next door and see if the young couple heard the sounds and saw the light. Thanks. Wow. Angels singing, bright light. I think maybe I've hit on something.
Come on, move up.
Move up, man.
Come on, Mom. Come on, Mom. Get it together, Mom. So that. Yeah.
What are you doing here?
Who is he?
Oh, you could just call him my guide. He's already been here once before, though.
I have a very funny feeling that the chief's hunch was right.
Me too.
I sure hope so. This is my last stop on the Beet Street.
Here. Are we the last to get the news story?
Yes.
Where's Pastor Gary?
Settle down. We're ready to get started here. Who has the first question?
Oh, I do.
You in the front. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, that's me.
They thought he had a kingdom that he deserved.
Right. This is no ordinary baby. I feel like I'm in a royal palace, not a stable. What an experience.
Yeah, like the angels told the shepherds, a Savior has been born who is Christ the Lord.
I will never be the same.
Let's get back and tell the chief. This is a great story to tell. He should run it on page one.
This is the greatest story ever told. Let's all sing about it.
So let's do that. Words on the screen.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy. Repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow, for as the curse is found, far as the curse is found. Far as the curse is found. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of His righteousness, and wonders of His love, and wonders of His love, and wonders of His love. Well, as we celebrate this season, we have had a presentation here that's talked about the Good News Flash. It's talked about the reporters. It's talked about the ones that would get the message out, that would get the word out. And indeed, this is the second Sunday of Advent, and the candles, as we light them in the Advent wreath, last week was the first candle, which was the prophet's candle, and this week is the angel's candle. Now, we'll tell you tonight, when you come for the hanging of the greens, there are several ways that people celebrate the Advent wreath, and oftentimes it's a peace, love, hope, and joy, and sometimes it's a variation of the characters of Christmas. But as we celebrate it this year, it will be the prophet's candle, the angel's candle, the shepherd's candle, and then Mary's candle, and then the Christ candle comes on Christmas Day. And so we have the opportunity to celebrate all of those wonderful characters of Christmas. But we want to think for just a few moments this morning about the angels, those heavenly messengers. And indeed, we had all these reporters that were here today that were going to be sure and get the story. Why? So that they could give it to others. The idea was to put it in print at the paper and to get it out. It was a headline. It was good news. It was the Good News Flash. And they wanted to get that out and be the first one to put that story out there. I'm reminded as I think about angels that they occur throughout the scriptures. I want to take for text this morning, though, just a simple phrase out of Matthew chapter 1 and verse 20. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And I want this phrase, an angel of the Lord appeared. God has unique ways of getting His message across to us. God has very unique ways of giving us those God moments where we know that He's speaking to us. Maybe it's inspiration in a song that we hear in the radio, or maybe it's as we read the Bible. There's something that just kind of leaps off the page and speaks to a particular situation that we might be going through at that particular time. Maybe He sends someone who comes to us as an encourager, or someone who makes us aware of something that maybe we've kind of been putting in the back of our mind or kind of denying in our spirit, and someone comes to us and speaks to us. Or maybe it's just that He, through a Sunday school lesson or through a preached message or those types of things, that He indeed gets His message to us. But in the scriptures, He used angels. They were indeed God's messengers. Matter of fact, they are mentioned 209 times in the Old Testament and 111 times in the New Testament. So that's nearly 320 occasions that the scriptures speak to the issue of angels coming, that there were messages from God that He definitely wanted to get. The word angel means messenger in both Hebrew and the Greek. They represent, in a personal manner, God's care of His people. They usually appear to execute some divine commission. They are often God's agents of judgment and destruction. They are protectors and servants of God's children. I want you to listen to a couple of passages that are in the scriptures that speak to us about the responsibilities of these angels. This is from Psalms chapter 91, beginning at verse 9. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent, for He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra, and you will trample the great lion and the serpent. And so we indeed have these instances in Scripture where we are assured that angels have appeared to specifically get some communication to us that God wants to communicate. From time to time, I have people who come through my office for various reasons, and Sometimes you have people that it just seems like they're kind of tuned in maybe a little differently than other people are. I had the opportunity to spend some time several years ago with a young fellow who was 10 years old. Very sensitive young man, pretty serious most of the time, not your typical 10-year-old. The things he was interested in and the things that he was involved in weren't just kind of the average things. He didn't play with others exactly the way that most people did. But when I began to have a conversation with him in my office one day, we got to talking about angels. He said, "I see angels." I said, "You see angels?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "When we go in church, I see angels." He said, "They hover." He said, "There's angels. Every time we go in the sanctuary, there's angels." And I said, "Is that right?" I said, he said, "Yeah." He said, we all have guardian angels." I said, "Oh, is that right?" He said, "Yeah, yours is standing right behind you." And how many times have we heard people refer to guardian angels? How many times have we heard people? You know, and I don't know about the reality of that. I've never had any extra sense of all of that. I believe that God's hand has watched over me and protected me in many situations. But this young man, you know, I was kind of glad to hear that there were angels hovering over the place. You know, kind of a neat feeling to know that God's presence is here, that indeed we have guardians that are protecting us from the forces that might want to try to do other things and play havoc in those situations. But they are the protectors of God's people. Listen to this passage of Scripture in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 14. "Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation?" So angels, in a sense, are our servants. Not so much that we command them around like bellhops or something, but God puts them here to help us. You remember when Jesus prayed in the garden, that an angel of the Lord came to him to strengthen him. Very important messengers along the way. And the angels give us an example in that when we pray in the Lord's Prayer that His will would be done on earth as it is in heaven, in essence, what we're saying is, help us to have enough sense to act like angels. That we do what you want us to do, when you want us to do it, the way you want us to do it. See, we're always running our own agendas. We're always trying to get God to conform His will to ours rather than us conforming our will to His. But when we pray that prayer, that simple Lord's Prayer, and how many times have we prayed that in our lifetime? We're actually praying, "Lord, I want you to help me make things here on earth like they are in heaven." The way to do that is to submit to His will, to submit to His direction, to do the things that He desires for us to do. I think, though, as I think about it, you know, there are only a few books. Ruth, Nehemiah, Esther, James, and the three books of John don't have any reference to angels in them. Every other book in the Bible has, at some point, references to angels. Such important beings, such important messengers. And you know what part of the message I like the best? Angels have delivered all kinds of messages. But you know what the most popular message that an angel delivers is? Because they did it many times. Don't fear. Don't be afraid. How many of us experience fear in our lifetime? How many of us encounter multiple situations in our lives where we have fear and anxiety? Have you ever considered that a simple prayer for God's peace and God's presence might help you when you're having to give a speech in speech class? You know, I remember those first days, you know, where every time you stepped up, you know, there were butterflies and there were all those kinds of things, and you just were trying to recall the things you were supposed to say. And, you know, we have fear about many situations. How many of you have fear when we go into interview for a new job? You know, how many times do we have fear when our kids go out and we're waiting for them to get back? You know, there are a lot of situations that create fear and anxiety. How many of us have fear when we begin to... How many of you remember about 5 years ago when everybody was getting pink slips? How many of us had anxiety that perhaps we might get a pink slip? You know, maybe some of us did get pink slips. And if you got a pink slip, maybe you had fear and anxiety about, what do I do now? Where's my next job? What's my next situation? What's going to change in my life? Because those kinds of things bring our life into upheaval. And all of a sudden, it's like, what are we going to do? But God has this way of sending messengers to us and sending direction to us. And we find out that if we can find peace and rest in God's plan, well, it may not be what we thought we ought to do or what we'd like to do, that when we let God play out His will in our lives, that His plan is always better than our plan. It may change some things that maybe we didn't want changed at the moment. But we don't have to have fear and anxiety. I'm always afraid of what people think of me. It's probably the greatest fear that I have. Probably gets me in more trouble and keeps me from maybe accomplishing what God would want to accomplish in life more than any other thing. It's because I worry about what everybody's going to think. We need to come to that place where we have the peace of God that passes all understanding. Where we can be obedient to whatever God directs, whatever God lays on our heart. And we can hear the message of God saying, don't be afraid. How many times have you heard the word, trust me? We have trouble with that with people because we don't know if we can trust them. But here's what we ought to know. We should never have to worry when God says, trust me. That ought to alleviate all anxiety. The problem is we like to know, we like to be in control, we like to have the handle. Because if we don't have those things, then we're not too sure about things. But what better way to live our lives than to place our lives in the Creator and Sustainer of the universe? The one who has always been and will always be and has never changed. This story about this babe in a manger, this idea that Jesus was born is birthed in the very fact that God so loved the world that He gave His Son. He gave Him from relationship in heaven to come to earth as a temporal being, and then He gave Him on a cross that we might have forgiveness of sins and eternal life. It is indeed the greatest story that's ever been told, isn't it? We are offered more by accepting this story than any other thing in our life. And I'm pretty sure that what I've learned over these last several years is that God can take care of me better than I can take care of me. There's certainly my part. I have to do the things that I'm responsible for. But to trust God in His infinite wisdom and His oversight of all the world is a far better idea than for me to guess and hope, you know, that I can figure it out. If I'm going to hope for something, I'm going to put my hope and trust in the Lord. I want Him to be guiding and directing my life. I'm thankful for messengers who come. I just heard a story this morning. God has funny ways of encouraging us and helping us. And so, Cheryl, this would be better told if you told it yourself. So I just want you to come and share this morning this story that you shared with me. And I want you to realize God has ways of helping us and encouraging us all along the way. And rather than me telling this, I'm going to let Cheryl tell you what happened.
Yes, because I'm so colorful. I don't know how many of you know, but I have had a house guest for about the last year and a half. My sweet sister back here who sits in the back, and she's here this morning, going through a very bad marital thing, a lot of dysfunction in her family, who we all love, but they're just not following the Lord, and they're, you know, very dysfunctional. A lot of hurt, a lot of heartache, a lot of pain. And yesterday, Debbie and I decided we go Christmas shopping. We go hit the mall. Crazy. And we're sitting there, and we're in this little kiosk. And I know if you've been to the mall, you've seen it, where they have all the calendars and the games and puzzles and everything. And we're laughing because we're just looking at all the Monopoly games. They've got Zombie-opoly. They've got Wizard of Opal, Wizard of Ozalopoly. And they've got, Big Bang Theory Monopoly. And we're just cracking up, you know, at all these Monopoly games. These two young men approach us. And, you know, whenever someone approaches you at the mall, you're kind of like, One was very clean cut. The other one was real quiet, but he had on one of those beanies, you know, that hangs way down, you know. And so you're kind of like, okay. And they walk up to us, and the clean-cut young man said, "Ladies," he said, "I just have to tell you," he said, "you're having so much fun, and you're just exuding happiness." And we kind of look at him, and I said, "Well, we are having fun, because we were just cracking up at all this stuff." And he said, you've just really blessed me and my friend, you know. We just see God in you, you know. And we just kind of laughed, said, "Oh, you know, well, thank you," you know. And he looked at Debbie, and he said, "But I sense, you know, that there's maybe something going on. Do you care if I pray with you?" And of course, Debbie, she just melts. She cries, starts crying. Of course, then I get a tear in my eye because I'm trying to hold it together. But that young man and his friend prayed with us right there in the middle of the mall at the Puzzle and Monopoly store. And I mean, it made our day. The fact that he knew that we knew God, and the fact that it made my day to know that he felt comfortable where he was to pray for us. And I know it blessed Debbie. I mean, we had the best day ever, except for our feet had blisters and you know, and we were hot and thirsty the rest of the day. But, you know, that's all right. You can go buy a tea or something. But anyway, but I just thank God for those young men. I don't know where they were from. I know they had to be from probably a local church. And I don't know if they were out on a mission thing or if they just randomly saw us. I don't know. But it was a neat experience, and I came in and shared it with Gary this morning. I said, it was just, I've never had anything happen. I mean, I've had people come up to me in church and say, "Can I pray with you?" But in the middle of the mall, I mean, there were hundreds of people walking by, you know? And it was like there was nobody there but just the four of us. It was really neat, and I thank God for it.
And so my point is this. First of all, these two young men were blessed by the joy that they saw coming from Cheryl and Debbie. Cheryl and Debbie were blessed because they noticed, complimented them, and said, "Can we pray for you?" Discerned somehow in their spirit that there might be something going on, because they didn't know them, but they just sensed, in the midst of the joy that they sensed at the same time, they sensed that there was an issue. That is, it's just the coolest thing about God. And that's why, you know, how many of us might have had a fear or an anxiety. What if God said to one of us while we're Christmas shopping at the mall, "See that lady over there, go pray for her." And it's like, "Okay, I will when I get home. I will pray for that lady that I saw in the store at the checkout line when I get home." And what if he says, "No, I want you to pray for her right now, right here in the store." You see, we have to come to that place where when we hear the voice of God, when we receive that message from God, that we don't have to be afraid. That we know what we ought to be afraid of is we ought to be afraid of disobedience more than we're afraid of what people think. That's the place we have to come to. That's the message that God has for us, is that He wants to fill us with His Holy Spirit, that He wants to have a relationship and a companionship with us, to where we don't have to be afraid. When we sense anxiety, we can turn that over to Him. And that's the message of Christmas. Don't be afraid. The very fact that there was a babe in a manger says there's hope in every situation. God is never far away. Always on the job. And loves you more than you can imagine. And all we have to do is give up. All we have to do is just surrender our life to Him and say, "Hey, I need you to take care of me. I'm not doing so well." That's why He came. Stand with me this morning. I want to close with this verse of Scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 18 says that we have a responsibility. All this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. The fact that we know this story says that we need to share our story with others. His story. Share His story with others. This is a great time of the year because people are more open to this message now than they probably are any other time. Seize the opportunities. Trust God. Do not be afraid. Have hope. With every head bowed and every eye closed this morning, just before we go away from this place, just wonder if there might be someone here who just needs a moment to say, I just need to bring myself to an up-to-date position. Wonder if maybe there's just somebody who just needs to say, you know, I've kind of been caught up in the whole worry thing, and I've kind of been trying to figure this all out myself, and I've really not been trusting God. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're backslidden. It doesn't mean you're not a Christian, but we all get to that place sometimes where we try to take on things, and God's saying, come unto me, and I'll give you rest. I'll take care of those things for you. I just wonder this morning, with every head bowed and every eye closed, wonder if there was anyone here who would just raise a hand and say, Pastor, just pray for me. I need to just really commit some things to God. I just need to rest in Him. I need to give Him those things. I see that hand. See that hand? I see that hand. Are there any others this morning? Just raise a hand and say, I just would like for you to pray for me. Okay, you can put those hands down. We're going to pray for you right now. And more than for you, we're going to pray with you. That indeed God will give guidance and direction to your life and make this the most enjoyable Christmas season for you, because you're resting in this great story of God's love and that He came here for us. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name today, and we thank you for the privilege of presenting this story in this fun way. We thank you for the hard work that's been done and all that's been accomplished. And Father, we just pray today that those who raised their hand, Father, would indeed just commit those situations into your hand. Say, Lord, excuse me, I just want you to take charge of my life. I want you to come in and fill me with your Holy Spirit. Father, I want you to take this situation, and Lord, help me not to worry about it. Help me not to be afraid, but let us rest in you, Father. Thank you for the Christmas story. Thank you for your love. Thank you for Jesus. Father, we pray now that you would lead, guide, and direct us to follow your word and your will as we live out our lives, and we'll give you praise in Jesus' wonderful, powerful, and precious name. All God's people said, amen. If you'll be seated for just a moment, just a moment. We have something. I'm going to ask Carolyn to come. We have something that we want to share with you that we're going to take on as a Christmas project. And we have a couple of weeks to participate in.
What a fun morning. That was good. Our church is going to take on a family that we're going to adopt for Christmas. There are two boys. There's one girl, and there's a baby in this family. And I put some green stars on the children's bulletin board in the back. And if you would like to participate in this, you can take one, two stars, however many you want. And I have either if it's a boy or girl, the sizes and what particular thing that they need. And I'd ask if you could wrap these presents and then put the star on that I gave you, or that you get off the bulletin board, put the star on top. And then I'll just take that off and put the name on when we deliver it. And if you could bring them to Sue's office. And then we need to have all the gifts at church by the 21st. Also, if you don't want to do that, you could get a gift card that we could give to them. And I'd be willing, if you wanted to, I could buy something. If you don't want to go out and do it, whatever. But we have like 2 weeks to do this, and this is very much a family in need. So if you do that, I'd really appreciate it.
All right, so could we express our appreciation once again to Mary and Jennifer and all of those who... And thanks to all of you, because we can't do this without you. And so now we've got to figure out what we're going to do next year. But I won't worry too much about that, because we've got several other special things going on. But we'll figure that out. Tonight at 6:00, Hanging of the Greens. If you don't know what all the symbols of Christmas mean, we invite you to come back and indeed be a part of that worship service. We'll explain all of the things that we decorate with and what they mean, what their spiritual connotation is. And so it's always a special time. So 6:00 tonight, we look forward to seeing you. Have a great day in the Lord. Let's stand. We're so glad that Janet has successfully had knee surgery, and she has less pain today than she did last Sunday. And so that means surgery worked. That's good. And so we are indeed grateful for her, and we're glad she had a day off today. So we kind of give her a little more healing time. Janet, pray a closing prayer for us, please.